glory.
Hallelujah. It's coming, people. He's coming. Hallelujah. Don't give up our hope. Thank you, Jesus. So our kids, I guess, are going to be dismissed. I hate for anybody to have to go back, but our kids are worth it. Hallelujah. So our kids can be dismissed at this time. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You're going to be hearing a sound of rushing mighty waters, probably somebody praying in tongues here. Almost 29, I guess, almost 30 years ago, it's getting closer, March would be, I think, 29. I went to a, you've heard me say this again, I'll repeat it, to a conference, a prayer center conference, Power and Prayer Conference in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I did not know Dave Roberson. I had never met him, and I don't even know if I met him on that particular, I think somebody took me in the back. Daisy Black, I think she took me in the back. But there was a young man there, and handsome, debonair, good, but mostly anointed, and that's Gary Carpenter. And I that's the first exposure that I've had. I think that was the first conference. He had been teaching a Bible study for many, many years, or for years. That wasn't his introduction to teaching, but that was the first time that I had ever heard him. And he's a true teacher to the body of Christ, became one of my best friends, and we just appreciate him. I said, Gary, I texted him a few weeks ago and said, would you do the first service in the new year for us? Would you pray about it? And he came back in about 2 seconds and said, he acted like he was praying in tongues and said, yeah, that's it. The Lord says yes. And however he scribbled that out in the text. But anyway, he's here this morning. We love him. We love Sue. What a wonderful woman of God. We appreciate both their ministries. And so we're going to go ahead and begin to turn the service over to him. He'll probably come on in just a second. I'll turn around, put my back to you. Oh, wow. There he is. Hey, Gary.
I really appreciate that young and handsome and debonair. Amen.
Well, we love you so much, and I'm going to take my seat, and the service is yours in the Holy Spirit. And, boy, we got you in early, so listen. You know how when we teach Brazil, we go an hour and a half, and they love it. So we get you very seldom, so please don't spare the horses. Hallelujah.
All right. Amen. Praise God.
All right, let's give the Holy Spirit a big hand. Amen.
Well, Bronk was telling you correctly. I had been teaching at the Bible study for many years before that March in 1997. And Dave had allowed me to, and Tim had allowed me to teach some at the prayer center. And I think I'd already started doing the Calling in the Lost on Sunday nights. I'd have to go back and check. But that March conference, well, that's the first time that I ever spoke at a conference at the prayer center. So, yes, sir. But okay. You might as well know this. We're family, right? I can talk. I've already written about 5 lessons for today's service. I said, that's the one. You know, yes, that's the message. And then, nope, pray a little more. Nope, that's not it. Write another one. And then this morning I got up and wrote the lesson for this morning's service. He just sat me down there at my computer with my cup of coffee and just item by item brought it right to me. And so I have the sermon notes. I've already mailed them to texted them to the pastor. And these notes, by the way, I believe they'll be posted at Bronk's website under the guest speakers where they have MP3 video and in PDF. We'll probably have these notes as a PDF for you if you'd like to have them later. Now, I do want to preface with this. Listen, it's an honor to minister at the prayer center, the family prayer center in Immokalee. You have one of the best pastors / teacher / and I hesitate a little bit at prophet, but I want to say with a very strong prophetic anointing in Pastor Bronk. I still remember the first time that I had to stand at the prayer center the very first time ever, and Pastor Dave was sitting right there. And I'm supposed to teach, and he's sitting right there. I feel that same way with Pastor Bronk. And now I've heard some of you others that are coming right along. I've heard Harry, and of course I've heard Homer for years. Just that he's always outstanding with the revelation knowledge. I get tickled at Mike Church when he comes. You know, he says, even my revelation knowledge has revelation knowledge. But I learned from Mike. And then, dear Lord, after I heard what, and then there's several of you that have prophesied. I've never heard a word yet that wasn't from God to any of you. And then I heard Amber the other day, and I told Bronk, I said, I'm going to have to up my game after hearing Amber. I said, dear Lord, now that I know she's listening, I got to pray even more, you know. So I just want to tell you this, that, okay, I'm going to go ahead. Yes, sir. Got him. Just a moment. Yes, sir. He's reminding me. I did one of the first services last year. I don't know if it was the very first one or not. And the Lord said that 2025 would be the year of believing. You remember that? So I looked at my own website this morning. My goodness, the whole year was spent on three series. We're not quite done with the third one yet, but I got the whole year started off with Recode Your Brain, or Recoding the Brain, I think. Then the second series, Believing Jesus. And now the one we're in now is Think Like Jesus. The whole year he spent on believing Jesus. Well, at the beginning of this year, of course, I always spend the last week of the year in prayer and fasting, a lot of fasting and listening, mainly get quiet and listen. And this year I heard him say, this is going to be the year of his presence. The year of his presence. Gary, do you know exactly what that means? Nope. But I'm really excited about it. And I know in the Blueprint Prophecies, more than once, he talked about his presence was going to come. And he specifically mentioned your building, where his presence was going to come so strong, hardly anybody would be able to stand or even leave the building. Well, I'm looking forward to that, aren't you? Now, this lesson he gave me for today is really for adults. I am glad that the children left the room. But I'm not really talking so much about physical children. He told me to speak to you as spiritual adults today. So I'm going to speak to you that way. And because I know you've been sitting under a strong teaching, Bronk and I are in lockstep about everything that we know. And I know you already, what am I going to teach you that he hasn't already laid that foundation? So when the Lord gave me this assignment this morning, he told me to tell you, we're not going to mess around with milk today. We're going to go directly to the meat. And there might be somebody there. Yes, sir. There might. You want to talk or you want me to talk? Either way. Either way is fine with me. For even global events will teach the unlearned and those who will pay attention that we're entering into a very serious time approaching the end. No man knows the hour or the day, but just know that my return is very close, very near, and much is to be done. A mighty harvest to be reaped. Many things, many kadamakalekadishadamakwa. There are still places on this planet that have not heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the number one sign of the end, this gospel shall be preached in every language, every kindred, every tongue. Know this. You are part of my army to accomplish that. You are part of my end time army to accomplish that mission. It is time for meat now. Strong meat belongs to them that are of full age. and I love you, and I count you as my adult children, ready to digest the meat of the word, says the Lord. Now, he said it better than I could say it. Now, somebody might be there that who's going, hey, I got born again last week, you know. I just started 2 or 3, you know, weeks or months ago. Well, one of the words that the Lord gave me quite a few years ago said, there's this generation. He said, there's coming a generation, and I believe it's now, that babies are going to be born with teeth, able to quickly digest the meat of the word. And I believe if you're hearing this message, you're one of those, even if you only got born again last week. So welcome. You're going to be able to digest this. He's going to supernaturally speed things up. You're going to grow very rapidly, says the Lord. Okay. Now, with that foundation, here we go. You ready? Now, I'm going to stick really close with this. When the king gives you an assignment, you better stick with it. So, is everyone hearing me okay? You're so quiet, I'm worried. Okay. All right. I want to preface it with this. This is something he said to me during this last year or two regarding the kingdom of God. He said, when I say something like this, this is something that came by tongues and interpretation through me. I'm just praying, doing what we're supposed to be doing, meditating the word, praying. But I do pray that I may interpret. And sometimes, here it comes, it'll come in an interpretation. You're welcome to reject any time I say something like this. This is what came, I believe, from the Holy Spirit through me. Feel free to reject it. It's not the same as me reading to you out of here, okay? But for me personally, I believe this is the word of the Lord. And so here, I'm just going to quote it without comment. It's pretty simple. But he said to me, the kingdom functions the way the king says it does, and not the way you think it does. My son described how the kingdom of God functions in fine detail while he was on earth. If you will follow those instructions, you will have success 100% of the time. The kingdom of God is the most efficient operation in the universe. It does not function by guesswork. It functions by spiritual law, which can be relied upon with absolute confidence. And that's the end of the quote. Absolute confidence, 100% of the time. Does that not sound to you like if we listen to the king and do it the way the king says, that we're going to have the same results that he had when he had his own meetings on planet Earth? Because they're still his own meetings. He just does them through us now. When he says 100% of the time in absolute confidence, doesn't that sound to you like they'll all be healed? First time, every time, no exceptions. To me, that is the mark that Jesus set for us. In your church, I would pick my friend Homer, who we all know at this moment is blind, has got kidney disease, and missing one of his toes because diabetes got it. I don't believe, and I don't think you believe for a second, that if Jesus walked through the wall when Homer's there, if Jesus himself could walk through the wall somehow and do his perfect will in that service, I don't think any of you think he would leave that service with Homer still blind. I can't believe that. I'll never believe that. You came too late to convince me of that, because I've read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I've never seen anybody there. You'll never find a single person coming to Jesus for healing that they did not get what they come for. That's the mark. That's where we're striving toward. So in this lesson today, the title that he gave me is, today's lesson is called The King's Law for Answered Prayer. the kingdom functions the way the king says it does and not how we think it does. I want to tell you one other thing. During this year of believing Jesus, I kept, you know, I had this attitude like, come on, Jesus, give me your instructions. I believe you. Let's go. Let's pow, bam, socko, raise the dead, heal, you know. And he was like, settle down. He says, before you're ready to believe me on what I'm going to say, I need you to believe what I've already said. We could leave right there and had a good service. If you believe that right there. So he started having me start going through some of the most simple things that I learned back in, could I say, Believer's Classes 101, like Mark 11, 23 and 24. So he had me start way back there. And like, Lord, I have heard so many messages. I have taught so many messages on that passage. Don't you know that I've listened to the best and I've even taught it, Lord. I've taught it pretty well, I think, you know. And aren't you glad he's merciful and long-suffering with us? Let's just read it first. You know, it's good to come to church and hear the word of God. You know that? So let's just read it. Of course, mostly I'm going to read out of the King James. Hope you brought your Bible. Some of you may have your good old paper Bibles or your device. Let's read it. Mark 11, 22 through 26, actually. I'm going to read the whole thing. Now, the king gave us his law regarding prayer. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now, anytime he interrupts me, it's for a good reason, okay? If I say interrupts me, it's his service. When I say the king's law for answered prayer, you can only put so much in a title, you know. Today, we're just really talking about petitional prayer. There's different kinds of prayer. We're not today talking so much about intercession, the prayer of intercession. There's some different rules with that. We're not even talking about the prayer of agreement. There's some different rules with that. Now, we're talking about petitional prayer. We're talking about you and Jesus. We're talking about you and your Father. When you have a request to the Father in Jesus' name, okay? That kind, we're talking about petitional, the prayer of petition, okay? Well, here's the law. Here's the law of the king. You have to believe you receive when you pray. Let's read it. And Mark 11, 22 through 26, King James Version. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever, let's stop there. Are you a whosoever? Yes, you are. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed. Hang on. What do you mean mountain? Any problem. Anything that does not agree with the will of God. I don't care if it's as big as Mount Everest. If you cast Mount Everest into the ocean, you don't see it anymore, do you? It's gone. Could we just say you could speak to any problem? When we arrive here now, what the king is saying, you can speak to any problem. That problem won't be seen anymore. It won't be seen anymore. I don't care how big it is. Okay? He says, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, today we're going to focus on verse 24. Therefore, I say unto you, this is the king speaking to us. Let me ask you this. Do you believe what he says comes to pass? The disciples had just watched him speak to a tree. And that tree withered from the roots. They're standing there going, we believe what you say comes to pass. He says, good. Therefore, I'm saying something to you, and it's going to come to pass. What thing soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. Don't ever forget it. Don't ever forget what I said. This, he didn't refer to himself as the king, but we know the king has spoken. That is the law of the kingdom. Now, he continued there, and I'm going to read it, and you'll see why in a minute. And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Now, the reason I'm not going to focus on that today is I'm not dealing with children. I'm talking to adults. And I know you've already been well taught. I know you've probably already had experiences with the Holy Ghost yourself, like I have. Where in the early days, he had to deal with me about forgiving people that I didn't want to forgive. And he just flat told me, he said, well, you're not going to go very far with me if you don't forgive them. And I said, well, I want to go far with you, but I don't want to forgive them. Well, how many, you know, he didn't change his mind. I had to change mine. So I'm not dealing with us. I'm going to talk a little bit more about adulthood a little bit later on, but I'm not going to focus on the child portion, which is you got to forgive. You got to listen. That's milk. Okay. You have to forgive if you want prayer or really anything else to work for you in the kingdom of God. All right. So let's focus on what he said. He says, what things soever you desire when you pray. Now, it's when you pray. You believe that you receive them. And if you do that, you shall have them. Why is that so important to God? See, that's one of the questions, you know. I said, God, why is it so important to you that we believe when we pray? And he said, it has everything to do with my character. He took me all the way back. Go in your Bibles all the way back to Genesis chapter 3. This is why it is so important that we believe we receive when we pray. I'll give you a moment. Summarizing real quickly, the first two chapters, you know, God made everything in 7 days. He made a perfect world, made people, Adam in his image first, and then he made Eve from Adam. They're both made in his image. They really only had one law. He said, you may eat freely of every tree of the garden except that one tree. You cannot eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he told him, he said, now, if you eat that fruit the same day, the day that you eat that fruit, that same day you're going to die. Well, chapter 3, you know, Satan comes. I'm not going to read it, all of it anyway. Satan come and he starts talking with Eve. And he says, now, did God say that you couldn't eat of every tree in this garden? You know, can you eat of all of them? And Eve pretty much repeats what Adam had told her. Well, we're allowed to eat of the fruit of every tree in the garden, except that one over there. If we eat the fruit of that tree, we'll die. Now, I want you to look, Genesis 3, look at verses 4 and 5. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. Can I say that to you in a different, same truth in a different way? He's flat telling her God is a liar. What he told you is a lie. That's not going to happen to you. First, he calls God a liar. Then he goes on to, is the word besmirch okay? He goes on to even further do character assassination on what God is like. Look at verse 5. For God does, here's what God knows. That in the day you eat that fruit that he's telling you not to eat, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. I've been praying and meditating on that passage for about 30 years, you know, maybe 40. I want to give you Gary's paraphrase. You know what he's really saying there? And those, first he calls God a liar, which means you can't trust what God says. You can't. He's not telling you the truth. Here's Gary's paraphrase. You cannot trust God. He is not telling you the truth. He does not have your best interests at heart. He's holding back the best from you. And that's the only reason he won't let you eat from that tree. Because he keeps the best for himself. Don't trust God. Trust me instead. I will give you what you want. Listen to me instead of God. Don't believe what he says. You can't trust God. Well, she didn't either, did she? He deceived her. She ate the fruit of that tree. But sin isn't really laid to her account because she was deceived. But she turned around to Adam, who was, it says, was with her. Adam had listened to this whole thing, apparently. And she offered it to him, and he wasn't deceived. It, for him, it was, I hate to say it this way, it was high treason. He's basically bowing the knee to a demon who, that's how that demon, Lucifer, became the god little g of this world, right there. Because Adam bowed the knee. He disobeyed God knowingly. Okay. From the beginning, the accuser, you know, Satan's called the accuser of the brethren. Well, he started off accusing God. He got Eve convinced, you can't trust God. You can't trust his character. He's holding back the best from you. That's why you can't trust his word. Well, let me ask you this, when you pray, do you wonder ever if God's holding back the best from you and you don't see the answer? You know, there's part of us that goes, I know he could have said yes. I don't know why he said no. See, the king starts this passage off with four words. It's the opposite of what Satan said. The king says, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Now, one of the men standing there, hearing this in Mark 11, one of the men standing there, as you know, was the Apostle John. About 50 years later, 50 to 55 years later, John wrote his first epistle, the one we call 1 John. And let me read something that he said 50 years later, after hearing Jesus teach, Mark, what we see there in Mark chapter 11. Go over to 1 John. I hope you know there's going to be a lot of verses, right? Keep your Bibles handy. Go over to 1 John chapter 5. Let's look at verses 14 and 15. And I love this so much because John paid attention. This letter he wrote after 50 years of serving the king. And I want you to know he is still teaching the same thing he heard Jesus teach, what we read there in Mark 11. So look at this, 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. And this is the confidence, if you are able to write in your Bible or underline, that word confidence is so important. This is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, isn't that petition? If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, now notice, whatsoever we ask, Jesus said, what things soever you desire. Now notice, we know that we have the petition that we desired of him. That is almost verbatim. The same thing that John heard Jesus say over there, what we read in Mark chapter 11. I love it. 50 years later, the man is still teaching the same thing he heard Jesus teach. Glory to God. I want to be just like that. I want to be just like that. Hallelujah. That word confidence, you remember back up there when I read to you what he said to me in through tongues and interpretation? He said, the kingdom doesn't function by guesswork. It functions by spiritual law, which can be relied upon with absolute confidence. Look up at it. Go ahead and be turning to the next verse, which is Hebrews 4:16. Hebrews 4:16. I'm going to go slow now. We need to get this. And this is the reason I want to make these notes available to you so you can have them later on. Hebrews 4:16. tells us how to approach God in his presence. See, religion kind of laid a picture for me, and you know, we're all slimy dog worms, and we ought to be just grateful if God doesn't cast us into hell just for any reason. And when you come into his presence, you need to come crawling in on your face with your nose to the ground and don't even look up and let your eyes see him and just be just, you know, ask for a little bit, you know, and you prideful outfit. I had that kind of picture in my mind for a long time, you know, man, you know, and to be honest, it's the wrong kind of fear. Look what Hebrews 4:16, and if we had time, I'd love to tell you why therefore is therefore in this verse, everything that he said leading up to this verse. But look at Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore, based on everything he said, come, look at this word, boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find what? Grace to help in the time of need. When you find grace to help, that's when God adds his power to your weakness. That's when God brings his power to manifest the answer to whatever it is you've come to ask. Now, here's the amazing thing. I didn't know this for years. That word confidence that we read over there in 1 John 14 is the exact same word as boldly in Hebrews 4:16. Same word. What if I said it this way then? Let us therefore come with absolute confidence unto the throne of grace. He helped me one day. We're going to be talking about presence more this year, but I've already been learning how to enter his presence. He doesn't want us coming in like slimy dog worms with our nose to the ground. We're supposed to come in, of course, reverently, of course, with love, but we're to come in as children paid for by the blood of the Lamb. One day he really helped me. I'm trying to learn how to come in. And then I had a little vision, a little mini picture. He does it for me all the time. Where I come in, I'm trying to approach the throne and know how to do it correctly. This time, I could see the Lamb. I could see Jesus right next to the Father. And I did it like this. I said, I pointed right to Jesus. Get my hand back here. I pointed right to Jesus. Here's the Father. There's Jesus at his right hand. And I said, because of him, I am here. Jesus paid a terrible price for us to have a right to come in boldly. And he didn't pay that price for us to come in like slimy dog worms with our nose to the ground. He made us sons and daughters with full inheritance. He actually made us joint heirs with him. And we are to come in like the children of God that we are, full of respect, full of love, full of honor, but come in like the priest and the king that he has made you. Glory to God. I'm about to have a running fit. I don't know if you're enjoying this, but I'm having a good time myself. See, anything less than that. Now here's, okay, I'm going to read you an adult sentence. When you come with a petition, and you've already done your research, you know this petition is according to the will of God, okay? You're coming with your petition. You're going to come in with confidence. What do you mean confidence? All right, here's the sentence. Anything less than 100% confidence is called doubt. And there is no in-between. Well, there kind of is. You remember the man that brought his lunatic son to Jesus? And he said, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Well, I don't know. I can't even tell you the number of times Jesus has helped my unbelief. But that's not where he wants us walking. That's not what John said. John says, no, we come in with confidence because we know that we're praying according to the will of God. And we know that he's going to hear us. And we know that if he hears us, we have it. Right when we ask. When did he hear? When you asked. When do we have it? When you prayed. 100% confidence. Let's go over to James, see if we can get a confirmation from the Apostle James. Chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. Now, this is in reference to that sentence that I said, anything less than 100%, I mean 100% confidence is doubt. And he'll help you with your unbelief, but he's trying to get us to grow up where we have belief, where we believe him. So James chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. But let him ask in faith, notice, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind, and tossed. Verse 7. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Yes, sir. I'm not going to bypass any images that he brings because they're important. I grew up in a Baptist church. I love the Baptists. I'm like Dave. Thank God for the Baptists. Dave would often say, if it wasn't for the Baptists, where would we Pentecostals get our people? I mean, one thing you got to say about the Baptists, they preach the gospel. They preach the cross accurately. A lot of people get saved there. A lot of people going to be in heaven because of it. Now, they teach a lot of things that I had to unlearn. Okay, that's not my point today. But I never saw anybody, not once, supernaturally healed by prayer in a Baptist service. I've seen a lot of them in Pentecostal services, but I never saw one. And it's because they always add this at the end of it. Lord, let's say Elder John is sick today. He's out, and we're going to pray for Elder John. That Lord, we're praying in Jesus' name. They're going to add Jesus' name. We're praying, Lord, in Jesus' name that you heal Elder John. Here it is. If it be thy will. I'm sorry. Let not that man think, if you don't know what his will is when you come in there, and you don't know if you're praying according to his will, isn't that the definition of doubt? Now, there's times to pray and be quiet and learn his particular individual plan for your life. I'll throw you a preview of coming attractions. Okay. Well, that's more than I was going to say. You know, we've been focusing on Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 for decades, if you want to know the truth of it, trying to get us. Romans 12, 1 is mortification. Romans 12, 2 is edification. Romans 12, 1 is where you mortify the deeds of the body. Romans 12, 2 is where you edify yourself by revelation knowledge so that your mind is renewed to where you think like Jesus. Only then, really, are you ready for the rest of that chapter. Gary, what's in the rest of that chapter? Oh, your calling, your place in the body. He starts talking right away about, now, once you've done Romans 1 and 2 now, and you know, you've mortified the deeds of the body, and you've prayed enough to start having the mind of Christ, well, now we can start talking about your ministry, you know. Are you called to prophecy? Are you called to pastor? Are you called to edification? Are you called to the ministry of giving? Are you called to the ministry of teaching? He starts talking about your place in the body. Then he goes even to more mature things than that, because he talks about loving your enemies, doing good to them that hate you. they hate you. He talks about, don't retaliate. I don't care what they did to you. You overcome evil with good. He's talking to grown-ups, but you're never going to get there without Romans 12, 1 and 2. Okay, that was free. I wasn't planning on going that far. I bet that's what he said. You can't. Again, I got to stay. Listen, the king has told us what's required. This understanding that he's brought to me this year, this past year, if anything, it has slowed down. I don't pray nearly as flippantly as I have in the past. Not on everything. Well, some things I do. I mean, you know his will when it comes to most things, okay? There's other things you got to get quiet about, especially when it comes to your calling in the body. For years, I didn't know I was a teacher. I had to pray and get quiet enough till I found out I was. You know? Yeah. But when it, but he's trying to get us, you gotta let me see quiet, come up, but I told you, okay, you know, okay, let y'all in on the edge. He says, don't talk so much and just say what I said. Yes, sir. Y'all want to know what those are about? Sometimes that's what it's about. I'm going to say it again. Anything less than 100% confidence is doubt. I hope we came with our big boy pants on today, right? I want to read that again out of James chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. When you pray, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Well, Gary, that's fine if I know the will of God. How can I know for sure the will of God? Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. Now, again, today we're focusing on petitional type prayer. We're not talking about really so much intercession. That's over in Luke chapter 1. No, Luke chapter 11. Where he talks about the bread of heaven being the Holy Spirit. Can't get over there today, but we'll be lucky to make it through this today. How can I know for sure that I am asking according to the will of God? Well, I remember now, all of these verses have been in my Bible for these past 30, 40 years. I've heard them taught many times. I've taught them many times. I don't know that there's many verses I haven't taught. But in some ways, in many ways, to a large extent, it's like I'm seeing them for the first time. Because they're becoming bedrock, foundation, real. Look at this verse. I'm going to read it out of the King James, which 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. For all the promises of God in him, of course, that's in Christ. And then the King James, it says, are yea. You look it up in any other translation and you're going to find out it's yes. So let's read it that way. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen. The word amen literally means so be it. That's the will of God. So be it unto the glory of God by us. How many promises? Look at it again. How many? All. The promises of God are yes. They're not yes and no. And if you back up and read this in context, you're going to see he absolutely means that. He says, I told you I was coming. I was going to come visit you. Do you think my word is yes and no? No, I meant yes, but Satan hindered me and that type of thing, okay? But it's literally talking about, listen, all the promises of God are yes. They're absolutely yes. They're not yes and no. They're yes. All the promises of God. Now, how many promises? If I was there in person, we go, all. Let's do it together. Come on. All. Turn to your neighbor. All. There is no no when it comes to the promises of God. That's what he said. There is not a no. See, look at John. Well, what has the king said? What has the king promised? Let's look at a promise of the king. Go to John 14. Yes, we're going to verses 12 through 14. You knew it was coming. Verily, verily, I say unto you. Now, here's the king is talking here. And this is just hours before the cross. This is in that dissertation that he had with his disciples. We are hours away from the cross here. It's one of the last things that he said. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And he seldom ever repeats himself in two consecutive verses, but he does. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. What a promise. What a promise. And when we mean to me and nice to you, Gary, you believe that, don't you? No. Gary, what do you mean? No. If I believed that, Homer would be singing. If I believed that, my friend Tommy Perez up in New York, Lynn Perez's son, he'd be out of that wheelchair and come testify in your church with his own voice what great things the Lord has done for him. The disciple shall become as the master. He doesn't start off as the master. We're all disciples. We're all in the school of the Holy Spirit. We're all being trained by the master. But if we don't quit, if we don't lower the bar down to where we're walking and we allow the Holy Spirit to bring us up to this promise, we shall walk right there. It'll be the same as if Jesus himself was there, because he is there through you. That's good preaching. Excuse me. That's good preaching, Brother Gary, right there. Okay. We got to believe that. I spend now recoding my own brain, my gray matter. I'm talking about the gray matter that we've all got, a roughly 3.5-pound gray matter brain. You know, it was a great encouragement to me the day that he said to me, Jesus said, you know, I had to deal with one of those two. I had a gray matter brain just like you got a gray matter brain that I had to teach how to cooperate with me, because it doesn't understand the things really of the, it doesn't understand. The gray matter brain will probably never understand the physics of how a human can walk on water. According to the natural laws of this world, and that's where the gray matter brain is, that's why God designed it to function here. I don't think it'll ever really understand the physics. How can the density of water hold up the density of a human when they're so different? You know, I could give you all the mathematical calculations just to prove that it's so impossible. But see, we don't have to understand all that. We just have to hear the word of God and do it. It just, my wife does not have to understand internal combustion engines and how all of the gases and the firing and all of the timing and the timing belt and all of the, you know, the pistons and all of that stuff. She does not know. She does not need to know how all that stuff works. You know what she needs to know? If I put the key in here and I turn it like that, the car's going to start. All we need to know is, Lord, what would you have us do? Well, I want you to go here and I want you to say that, and I'm going to watch my power flow. Oh, okay. I can do that. He's getting us there. He had to train his 3.5-pound brain to cooperate with him too. We can do the same thing, but it does require a recoding of the brain. All right. Many lessons on that this year. If you haven't been following, you can afford them. They're all free. GaryCarpenter.org. All right. Back to this. So Jesus says again, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, I will do. That will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Someone might say, or I might even say, Gary, that does not match my life experience. Gary, haven't you prayed for Homer? Yes, I have. Is he seeing? Not at this moment. No, he's not. So what are you trying to get me to do? You trying to get me to lower the word down to my life experience so far? Because I'm not about to do that. No, my life experience is going to rise to meet the level of the word. The word's not going to change. My life experience is going to change. And we're all in that process right now. We're in the school of the Holy Spirit. We have to recode our brain to cooperate with us. That's why these three series this year at the website, we're almost done with the third one. I already know what the next one is. Gary, what is it? It's Nunya at this point. You'll find out pretty soon. Okay. The three series that this year, Recode Your Brain, Believe Jesus, and Think Like Jesus. Really some good stuff in there now. And there's going to be even some more helps to come along with that. He's having me go back and do some things that you're going to like. Over to 2 Corinthians for a minute. What do you mean, recode my brain? What do you mean, think like Jesus? What? I mean, I can read. I read that verse. He says whatever I ask in his name, he'd do it. Well, have you prayed for Homer? Is he seeing? I think we've got a little believing more to do. Well, how do we do that? Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's look at over the familiar verses 4 and 5. For the weapons of our warfare. Now, first off, let's understand this. This is an apostle, the apostle Paul, writing a letter to a baby church. Okay. Now, they've come a little ways. We're in 2 Corinthians, not 1 Corinthians. They've come a little ways. They've repented some. They're growing. But see, understand what an apostle is. An apostle, let's go all the way back to like Ireland, you know, when St. Patrick, when he almost single-handedly evangelized Ireland. When he first came there, these are a bunch of absolute pagans, druids, and I mean, they worshiped rocks and trees and sacrificed their children, you know, so they have good rain for harvest. I mean, just absolute pagan. That's the way they thought. And here comes an apostle preaching the truth. His job is to change the way they think. He has got to go get them to not believe that that tree is God or that you should pray to that rock or anything like that. His job is to preach the gospel and get their thinking changed to think like God. Excuse me. Think like God. So this is an apostle writing to the Corinthian church telling this is how we do it. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I think about St. Patrick going to Ireland. That tree is not God. That rock is not God. There are no gods but one. And he sent his son and so forth and so on, okay? You got to tear down those strongholds. Well, I said, yes, sir. A stronghold in us right now is when I pray, nothing happens. We don't like to say it that bluntly. But when I pray, nothing happens. That's a stronghold. It's got to be pulled down. Look. How do you do it? You got to cast down the imaginations. What imagination really is the thinking you have on the inside that you hardly let anybody else see. I'm going to pray, but last time I prayed, they died, you know. Are you sure you want me to pray? You got to cast down imaginations. And every high thing, that's every, can I say university thought, every principle of the world thought, every absolute truth that the world thinks is absolute truth, you've got to cast that down. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and you have to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I'm going to say it this way, the obedience of the king. What did the king say? Well, when it comes to petitional prayer, the king said, what things soever you desire, Gary, what things soever you desire, prayer center, when you pray, believe you receive it. Believe in his character. Believe he's not withholding any good thing from you. Believe he can't lie. What things soever you desire. Oh, by the way, he's glad that you came. He's glad that you came. He expected you to come. That's one of the reasons he made you his child, so you could come into his throne room freely and ask him. He wants his kingdom done on earth like it is in heaven. Okay. I'm way out beyond here, but bring every cat. It's our job. The apostle first has to do it, but then the people themselves, eventually, they're going to either believe the truth or not. And if they're going to believe the truth, they are going to have to take their own imaginations captive and go, okay, that tree is not God. I'm not going to pray to that rock anymore. No, I'm taking those thoughts. I know my daddy did it that way, and his daddy did it that way, and his daddy did it that way, but that's not the truth. I'm taking those thoughts captive. I'm not going to do it anymore. Well, for us, it's like, I'm going to be a little more careful when I pray, make sure that everything, that I have promises from the Word of God. See, study to show thyself approved. Do you know the promises? If it's a promise of God and you're asking in Christ, the answer is yes. There is no such thing as no, or else God is a liar. Oh, Gary, you didn't say that out loud. Yes, I did. That's what Satan was saying from the beginning. You said you can't trust God. And Jesus is saying, have faith in God. The answer is yes. If it's in the will of God, if it's a promise, the answer is yes. There's no such thing as no. That's what it means. Preaching. I'm supposed to be teaching. I done gone to preaching, bro. Okay. Read it again. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. If it doesn't agree with the knowledge of God, you've got to cast it down. Bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Yes, sir. Practical application. I remember way back there when the doctors had given me, way back there, when the doctors had given me 6 months to live because I had melanoma cancer, and they said it had already gotten a little bit scary looking. And they said, I'll never forget the look on that doctor's face when he come out after examining me. He says, now, son, we're going to do the best we can for you. We're going to send you to MD Anderson Hospital in Houston. You've got melanoma cancer. It looks to us like it's the fastest spreading, most deadly kind. And we're going to do the best we can for you, son, but we don't think you have 6 months. If I was you, I'd start getting my affairs in order. Now, let me just tell you, that will get your attention. Sue and I left there stunned. We're in the car. You should have heard the silence. You don't even know what to say. We're driving home, and Sue asked me the best question she could have asked me. What can you believe? Sometimes you got to locate yourself. What can you believe? See, and I knew theologically, I'd already been a Christian long enough to know all things are possible to him that believes, but I also knew I wasn't walking there. I knew I wasn't walking there. And you know the story. I'm not going to make it long. I had to locate where I was at that moment. I said, well, I can believe two things. Number one, that the diagnosis does not have to be as bad as what he just said. And number two, somehow or another, they're going to get every cell of that cancer out of my body. And you've heard me tell that testimony. It wound up being exactly that way. But now the reason I want to tell it, during that standing time between the day that I heard that diagnosis and the day the operation was done, it was a month, 6 weeks maybe. I'd have to go back and look. During that time, I would catch myself. Now, I'm standing in faith, right? They're going to get every cell of cancer out of my body. That diagnosis does not have to be that bad. I'm going to live and not die. Then I would catch myself planning my funeral. I didn't do it on purpose. I just suddenly, I'd be thinking, yeah, my funeral, I like that song, Daddy's Hands. Yep, Daddy's Hands, you know. Sometimes Daddy's Hands was hard as nails, but there was always love in Daddy's Hands. Yeah, that'd be, I'm thinking about my own funeral while I'm standing in faith, see. I cast that down. I didn't realize exactly what I was doing, but I said, no, that's not going to happen. And I'd have to force myself to cast that down. I'm going to live. I'm not going to die. They're going to get every cell of that cancer out of my body. Now, they gave me 6 months. I was in my early 40s. Can you tell? That's been a long 6 months. I have to cast down those thoughts. But we're going into a revival where we're going to see things that has not been seen before since the book of Acts. And for that to happen, there's a lot of thoughts that's going to have to be cast down. A lot of our life experience that's going to have to go by the wayside. A lot of past prayer failures That's got to get gone out of our thinking, because what has been is not what shall be. Do you hear me? What has been is not what shall be. All right. Now, somebody might say, Gary, I'm going to try and use Dave's nasalated creature. You know how he would do his little nasalated flesh creature? I don't do it nearly as well, but I'm going to try. Forgive me, Dave, if you're watching. Gary, I prayed in line with the will of God, and he said no. My prayer was not answered. And my response to that would be, well, if you really did pray according to the will of God, and he said no to a promise, then Satan was right. God is a liar that you can't trust. Well, I wasn't saying that. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Jesus said you'd have it if you believe you receive it when you pray. And the word says all the promises of God are in him, yes, and in him, amen. So you said you prayed according to the will of God, and God said no to a promise. That makes him a liar, doesn't it? No, no, I wouldn't say that. Well, what are you saying? Double-minded. Double-minded. God did not say no. The problem is, we did not believe we received when we prayed. Problem's not on his end. See, right there, he's showing me again. I always think of Daniel. Daniel had studied enough to know that the 70 years had been fulfilled and the time had come for Israel to start returning back to the promised land. He had meditated. And so he began praying and asking the Lord about it. And you know the story. He fasted and prayed. Daniel's fast, but he fasted and prayed for 21 days. And what's amazing, when that angel finally appears, now Daniel, 21 days, nowadays, you know, everything is instant. We stand in front of the microwave and yell, hurry, you know. Used to, you had to catch the chicken, kill the chicken, pluck the chicken, boil the chicken. Now we stand in front of the microwave. 3 minutes, hurry up. Be still and know that I am God. Those who will enter my presence and really, really partake of my presence, yes, sir, and deliver my presence will spend much time in my presence, being still and knowing that I am God. Man, he's going to have us going fast and going slow at the same time. Slow in him, fast. We got a world to save. We've got a great harvest to do. All right. Now, I want to say it again. God did not say no to a promise, and if he did, he's a liar. Daniel, 21 days. I had trouble getting myself to stand when I don't see the answer more than 2 or 3 days sometimes. What if Daniel had given up? You know what that angel said when it got there? That angel said, your prayer was heard, and I was dispatched the very day you prayed. That sounds like the answer was sent the moment of prayer. Doesn't it sound like to you? Your words were heard, and I was sent the same day you prayed. Trouble is, the answer didn't get there for 21 days. And I've wondered, what if on day 20, Daniel said, that's it, that's enough, I give up. I guess the answer's no this time. I thought he would answer me, but I guess the answer's no, and he gave up. The problem is not that God doesn't answer. God answered. The problem is we don't believe we receive when we pray. I pray. How dare you? Again, I'm talking to adults, not babies in Christ. So I'm talking to you. I'm already assuming quite a bit. I'm assuming that I'm talking to people that are presenting their bodies holy to the Lord. See, we got to go all the way back to Romans 12, 1 and 2. I'm assuming that you're already presenting your bodies holy, that you're not involved in any habitual sin. If you are, then you know what to work on. See, I'm assuming that there is no unforgiveness in you. I loved Amber's testimony that she gave a couple of weeks ago about having to deal with unforgiveness. Well, you learn real quick, and this, if you're going to be in God's kingdom and doing kingdom business, you cannot mess around with unforgiveness at all. I mean, at all. You deal with it like you would a rattlesnake. You don't give it a chance to grow. I'm assuming that you're putting the kingdom of God and his righteousness first place in your life. Is your life, if your life is still all about me and my four and no more, this message isn't for you. You've got a lot of yielding to do, a lot of humbling to do. I'm assuming that you already are meditating in his word, and I'm going to say daily, so that you are renewing your mind to think like Jesus. And I'm assuming that you're spending time in fellowship with God through prayer, worship, and fasting. See, I'm assuming all of that. We started above all that. That's Romans 12, 1 and 2, and really Romans 1 up through Romans 12. Everything that he said in there. We've been on that for years. It's time now to move on. It's time. We have arrived at our bar mitzvah. The Lord thinks we're, what is that, 12, 13 years old, where they had the bar mitzvah. This is the day that we declare, in a Jewish culture, this is the day that we declare our son is a man, mature enough now to participate in the family business. I believe the Lord is declaring our bar mitzvah. We've grown up enough. And we're only 13, but we've grown up enough. He's declaring, you're mature enough now to participate in my family business. For that to happen, the first thing you need to know, when you pray, trust me, have faith in my character. Know who I am. Don't believe Satan. Believe me. Have faith in me. When you pray, whatever you ask for, you believe you receive it right then. You're going to have it. You're going to have it. Okay? I did want to just finish it up with this, because I'm not talking about the prayer of intercession today. Very often when you're in intercession for people, now there is a kind of okay. He's just not going to let me go there very much. We're not talking about intercession. We're not even really talking about the prayer of agreement. Sometimes you got to be in agreement. Sometimes you just can't take no for an answer. I don't have time today, but I encourage you to study Luke chapter 18, starting in verse 1, because Jesus teaches a parable there. I'm going to read you verse 1 out of the Amplified Classic. Jesus told them a parable. Now, this is really talking about, it's prayer, all right? This applies to petitional prayer. This applies to intercessional prayer. Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not to turn coward, faint, lose heart, and give up. We quit too early. What if Daniel had stopped on the 20th day? Oh my goodness. Sometimes the end result of that story right there is that little woman who kept coming to that unjust judge, she would not take no for an answer. We've got to come to the place we don't take no for an answer either. Because we just read it. All the promises of God. If you can find the promise, the answer is yes. And when you act on that, if you don't see the results, you still got some recoding of the brain to do. Okay? Got some recoding of the brain to do. Because Jesus is not going to change. Yes, we have to deal with unforgiveness. Yes, you have to not be double-minded. If you catch yourself, I'm going to live and I'm planning my funeral, you got to deal with that. You got to cast them down. Eventually they'll stop. It may take a while, but eventually they'll stop. Whatever it is, kind of not quite kind of done. Yes, sir. I hear Ronald Reagan's voice. you young ones going, who? One of my favorite presidents. He said, facts are stubborn things. They are. Very often the facts, symptoms maybe in your body, symptoms in the body of somebody else, they can be stubborn. But see, Jesus did not say, my word, Father, thy word is facts. He said, thy word is truth. Facts are subject to change. Truth is not. Truth changes facts. Now, sometimes they're very stubborn. And that's why Jesus said, when he returns, is he going to find that kind of persistent faith on the earth? When I read it every time, I go, yes, yes, you're going to find it. We are not going to quit. We're not going to turn coward and turn off and give up. So I know I'm speaking to adults today, not babies in Christ. I'm going to say it one more time. The kingdom functions the way the king says it does, and not how we think it does. My son described how the kingdom of God functions in fine detail while on earth. If you will follow those instructions, you will have success 100% of the time. The kingdom of God is the most efficient operation in the universe. It does not function by guesswork. It functions by spiritual law, which can be relied upon with absolute confidence. First time, every time, no exceptions. I hope that blessed you. I hope that blessed you. Father, I pray for everyone in the sound of my voice, not only those that I see in the auditorium, but Lord, I know there's many online and many that will listen online in the future. Father, we pray for each and every one of them. I pray for myself, Father. Help us recode our brains. Help us renew our minds to where we think like you. You're not going to change. Your word is not going to change. We have to change. We thank you so much for the teacher that you've sent us, the Holy Spirit. And we thank you for the teachers in the flesh that you've sent us, like Pastor Dave Roberson and Jim Martin and Bronk Flint and so many, Lord. Lord, we thank you for each and every one of them. But we are asking for your help. We do ask, help us with our unbelief. But don't leave us as children, Lord. Raise us up. Mature us up. Help us grow. Help us renew our mind, or said another way, recode our brain so that we literally think like Jesus. I ask this blessing for each and every one of them in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name I pray. Amen. So be it. I turn it over to you, Pastor Braun. I love you too. Love you too. Really love you.
Lifting your hands and just begin to magnify him. Receive this, Father. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Father. We glorify you. We glorify you. We love you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for talking to us, sharing with us, Lord, like grown-up sons and daughters. Thank you, Father. We receive this. We receive this. Hallelujah. Give you all the praise. Give you all the glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Father. We give you all the glory. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Gary, we love you so much. Thank you so much. Give Sue a big hug for all of us. Yes. All right. One more time. Would you say this with me? Father,
Father,
I receive all this truth.
All this truth.
We will not lower the bar.
We will not lower
we'll
the
grow
bar.
Up.
We will
come
grow
to
up.
Full maturity.
Come to full maturity.
We thank you, Lord.
We thank
you.
You Lord.
Spoke to us today.
Spoke to
every
us.
Every word of truth. We receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Gary, we'll see you soon. Amen. Checks in the mail. Hallelujah. We will start prayer again on Sunday nights, next Sunday night, and praise God. Thank you for coming today. Amen. Blessings.